Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you this afternoon, as always. Our phone number, 704-570-1110. All the stories that have been happening are still happening, as you heard from Anna Erickson. You know that they're still fighting over the debt ceiling. They're still fighting over funding the Build Back Better plan. They're still fighting over, the Merrick Garland thing continues to resonate. Now California, by the way, Los Angeles, not a shock. Not a shock, Marxist West. California, specifically L.A., has now issued the mandate like they have in New York, where you have to have proof of a vaccination to eat food in a restaurant. You know, and it got me to thinking about that for a quick second. These mandates, these vaccine mandates. And I know. 2 days ago, I said I was going back to normal. I am. We're back to normal because I'm going to hit a bunch of stories that nobody else seems to be wanting to talk about, but they really matter a lot. But I was thinking about this with the situation in California and the denial of food, nourishment, nutrition, unless you have that magical card that proves that you are eligible for sustenance. I just looked at this and I said to myself, wait, hold on a second. Wait 1 minute. What are we doing here exactly? This isn't fair. This isn't just. These situations with the vaccine passport and your card and your proof just to get something to eat, my Lord, what are we doing? What are we doing? Imagine this situation, okay? Please try to put yourself in their shoes. L.A. is now mandating vaccinations to eat in restaurants. So if you're a Haitian or a Romanian or an Uzbek and a human trafficker slash cartel drops you off in L.A. and you're hungry, these SOBs will deny you comida? You will not have the right to eat? I just traveled 72,000 miles to come here. I was smuggled in by I'm supposed to get a shot. What I want is a shot of Patron. I don't want the vaccine. Just remember, today we march, tomorrow they vote. And that's the thing, because we're in this weird place right now, in this very strange space politically in the country. If you notice, like you put on CNN or MSNBC, or the sort of topical news channels, your ABC, your NBC, your CBS, because you see a lot of BS. So you see it all over these channels. They use this word, and they use it constantly. And I want you to tune your ears to this. The word is democracy. We have to protect the democracy. The democracy has to be protected. The democracy has to be preserved. We must work to protect the democracy. The United States of America is not a democracy. We have democratic institutions, meaning we vote for people for positions mostly. Mostly. But we are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic, and we have a federalist system, which means the states are what matter. And I realized why it is, whether it's Jen Psaki, whether it's Joe Biden, whether it's Kamala Harris, whether it's Donnie Lemons, Anderson Cooper, Scooper, whether it's any of these people, they always go, we have to protect the democracy. The democracy has to be preserved, has to be protected. We have to make sure the institutions of the democracy are sound and strong, because they don't want to talk about states. They don't want to talk about the 50 states that we have in this country, because the democracy is intact, but the states run by D's are failing. Think about it. California, New York, Illinois. Go down the list. They don't want to talk about states.
They want to talk about the democracy. The democracy is under attack. If you criticize a governor of a state that is blue, you are engaged in an attack on the democracy. I'm writing a book about the democracy. I've written a book about the democracy. The democracy must be preserved at any and all costs. Our democratic institutions, our democracy is at risk. It's in danger. Donald Trump was president. January 6th happened. The democracy was going to die. The democracy died. It's been dead. He killed it. No, see, it hasn't. Why? Because if you want to get technical and you want to believe that Joe Biden really got 85 million votes, I'm going to leave it up to you, just like I'm going to leave the vaccine up to you. You believe whatever you want to believe. But if you want to say Joe Biden got 85 million votes and Donald Trump only got 75 million votes and all that kind of stuff, who won the election then? Joe Biden's in charge. You've got your conclusion right there. Don't call and try to relitigate this. I'm making a really good point that you can deploy against the pinko commie leftists in your life. If the democracy is so fragile, if the democracy is failing, if the democracy is on life support, if the democracy is going to die, it didn't die. It's alive. And Joe Biden is at the head of the democracy. And what I would contend to you is, if the democracy is going to die, it's going to be because Joe Biden kills it. Nationalizing an election. Packing, stacking, and yakking the Supreme Court. Spending $59 billion trillion. You know, somebody yesterday said they have to raise the debt ceiling to a quadrillion dollars. See, somebody who writes that should be named, shamed, have their home repossessed, and they should have to go and walk around with a sandwich board that says, I had the single dumbest idea in human history. Ask me about it. That's what should happen. There ought to be consequences for this. But instead, what you get from Pompadour Joe Scarborough and his loyal sidekick, Mika, what you get from Don Lemon and Chris the Toucher Cuomo, and what you get from some of the folks on Fox News, you know, Chris Wallace and the Brett Baer, who called Arizona at like 4:30 in the afternoon. All these folks want to talk about the democracy. The democracy has to be. The democracy is working. Okay? The democracy is working. We're the only democracy that matters in the world. They do these studies and they try to tell you Norway is a much healthier democracy. Who the hell wants to live in Norway? Nobody. Nobody wants to live in Norway. Raise your hand if you're driving, don't. Raise your hand if you want to go live in Norway. It's cold and those people are boring. America's a place I want to live. You know why? America is rock and roll. America is interesting. America has a future that is still TBD. I know what's going to happen in Norway. It's going to be B-O-R-I-N-G. I ain't going to Norway. I can't even name a good Norwegian rock band. I mean, White Lion? I think they were Swedish. ABBA? Also Swedish. The only place more boring than Norway's Finland. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to the Scandinavians. They'll deploy Vikings against us. Again, it'll be interesting. America is a thriving place. They want you to be bummed out. Understand this if you understand nothing else. It's the purpose of the lockdowns. It's the purpose of the vaccines. It's the purpose of deploying the FBI against parents who have questions for the school board. They want to crush America. They hate what America is, has been, and can be. Why? Because they want to kill the democracy. They want a uniparty wearing a unitard marching down the street, unified in shame. That's what they want. That's what they want, folks. Don't let them bum you out. My job here is to be like a goalie in front of the box, stopping them from scoring on you.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993-WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. I'll have further thoughts on this democracy, democratic, you know, this whole debate, these word games that are getting played with. But I wanted to tip you off. I have a question sitting over at the Brett Winterbull Show Facebook page. I know it is the page that shall not be mentioned, you know, Facebook. And it's a pretty straight question. And you can answer it over there. We'll go through some of the results later on. But if you could have one power out of this list, what would you take? I like to mix it up, you know, between ranting and raving about news of the day and then other interesting things. So what would you take off of this list if you could do one of these things and one of these things only? The power of invisibility, the ability to fly without a vehicle, or to time travel 25 times. And that presumes 25 round trips. So you would go someplace, then you'd come back, and you could only do it 25 times. You could only go and come back 25 times. And you couldn't go and then go to another place and another place and another place and another place and you took 25 trips that way. You'd have to go and come back for each of those times. So if you want to answer that, we've got some really terrific answers so far showing up over on the Brett Woodable Show Facebook page. My personal favorite is Mike Lyons, who says, I'd like government that looks out for the people. There's always one that has to come in and do that. There's always one that has to say, yeah, I like your question. It's cool, but I'm going to be in the present right now and I'm going to have an opinion. And that's cool. But that's the beauty of Facebook, because you got all kinds of different takes from people. But on this issue of protecting the democracy, when you have this as the sort of argument that's been set up typically by people in power, they're doing it for a reason. So if you are a senator, a very powerful senator, right, if you're Chuck Schumer, if you are Sheldon Whitehouse, if you are Amy Klobuchar, right, a very powerful senator, and I'll put one on the other side, you know, Mitt Romney, if you are Ben Sasse, if you are Lindsey Graham, and you're talking about the democracy being imperiled, you're doing that for a reason. Because what you're telling people in their mind is, if you don't do what we say, our very system is going to collapse. You and I both know that that is not going to happen. We both know that. They're doing all the gloom and doom talk. And think back to the last five or six debt showdowns, debt ceiling arguments, spending arguments, all this kind of stuff that you always see, and it always gets resolved. You know that, and I know that. But they'll tell you that the democracy is at risk. They'll tell you if there's an abortion law in Texas, the democracy is at risk. If we don't do an amnesty, the democracy is at risk. First of all, we're not a democracy. We are not a democracy. And in fact, I would contend that if we were a pure democracy, like if we were everybody gets a vote on everything, this would be a very conservative country. This would be an incredibly conservative country, because you wouldn't have the ability to protect your interests except by restraining the government. You wouldn't run around and be like, hey, I want to be able to take everybody's money from everybody else, because everybody else would say, I'm not giving you my money. I don't care how little I've got or how much I've got. You know darn well, if this was a democracy in the Aristotelian, the Platonic, the Socratic styles of the ancient Greeks kicking that around, you know darn well that that would never be the case. That would never be the case. So they tell you instead the democracy's at risk. I can imagine coming home from work, seeing my wife, seeing my children, and I'm all sad. I come in the house. They go, what's the matter, Brett? What happened today? The democracy is at risk. I don't know that we can plan that vacation. The democracy is in danger. Okay, so what are we going to do about it? Well, I could use one of those 25 trips on time travel, go back and stop the institution of the income tax, stop the institution of the Federal Reserve, stop the removal of the gold standard. I could go back in time. I could kill Hitler when he was just a little smart aleck. I could take out Osama bin Laden, Mao Zedong, Lenin, and Karl Marx. I could actually probably save save tens of millions of lives, hundreds of millions of lives, people saved from absolute misery. Could do all that stuff, and that wouldn't be a problem at all. But the reality is that really doesn't exist. And so we are stuck with our elected representatives and raising our voices. And the very group of people that will tell you the democracy is in danger, the democracy is at risk. I am a very well-paid television news anchor making $43 million a year who happens to be related to the Vanderbilts. I am outstanding and awesome, and I'm telling you the democracy is at risk. I am a hypocrite, because I have all my money hidden and stashed away in offshore accounts and in banking accounts and all these things. And I have trusts and stuff so that the lawyers are going to protect my money. And I'm going to tell you that you're greedy because you run a business, you run a tax preparation business, and you need to write more money to the federal government. And you darn right better let us look at your bank account at $600 or more. And then they'll tell you that democracy is at risk. Wrong. It's a lie. The Democratic Party right now in the United States, the party that tries to identify as being with the democracy, is the most power-hungry political party in human history. It is the Republicans who respect federalism and believe the power resides in the states. You know why that's important? Because if you live in a particularly lousy state, see California, Illinois, Ohio, New York, etc., you can move to another state. If you're just a democracy, you're stuck in Chuck Schumer's fever dream.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Breck Winterbull Show. There is a story that I think is just absolutely fascinating. It's the ongoing fallout from Merrick Garland's announcement yesterday that he was going to act via the FBI, Chris Wray and the FBI, to ensure that you don't get to show up at school board meetings and express your opinions on a variety of topics, including masks, vaccine mandates, and of course, CRT. And so this was all prompted by Viola Garcia, who is the president and chairwoman of the National Association of School Boards. It's interesting that you would have a National Association of School Boards, but she is the head of that organization, and she's had enough of parents showing up at these different school board meetings, yelling at the school board members and the superintendents and the principals and what have you. Because they disagree with the policy, she says something's got to be done about it. Merrick Garland says, well, we got something we can do about it. We can deploy the Federal Bureau of Investigation to ensure that nobody's feelings are hurt, nobody's upset, nobody is angry, and we can keep those troublesome parents away from these meetings. Okay, I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what the promise was. Well, this is where the story gets even more interesting than it was 24 hours ago when we were first talking about this. Because Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, has now come out and said, well, Attorney General Merrick Garland is weaponizing the DOJ by using FBI to pursue concerned parents and silence them through intimidation. Florida will defend the free speech rights of its citizens and will not allow federal agents to squelch dissent. Well, the squelching of dissent does not sound to me like anything connected to protecting the democracy. I mean, that sounds like it would be the opposite of protecting the democracy that we always hear about. According to Town Hall, DeSantis' office later released a statement saying that the Florida law already prohibits harassment and that the state enforcement is perfectly capable of responding to crimes in Florida. And that we have never heard the FBI suggest otherwise. The FBI used to be really super busy chasing, you know, gangsters and bad guys and, well, we know they dropped the ball with Larry Nassar. We know they got distracted for about 2 years with the Trump-Russia stuff. We know that they didn't really do much to handle what's gone on with the cartels operating on American soil and the fentanyl. That's certainly not an issue that they have to work on. But Attorney General Merrick Garland, when he's not going after Texas over their abortion law, is now going after you parents, you troublemakers that show up at the school board demanding answers and accountability and things like that, which is, well, I didn't know the FBI did that kind of stuff. But you see, the Attorney General, Merrick Garland's, got some explaining to do of his own, because this is where it starts to get interesting. One of the elements that has raised the ire of people at these school board meetings has been the critical race theory narrative. It's the idea that school boards are looking the other way as critical race theory is being taught to the students in that school, because you've got a lot of teachers who have been pushed into that position by a number of special interest groups. Most importantly, the teachers' unions, you know, Randy Weingarten and company. Well, what does Garland have to explain? Here's what he has to explain. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland recently instructed the FBI to begin investigating parents who confront school board administrators over critical race theory indoctrination material. The U.S. Department of Justice issued a memorandum to the FBI instructing the FBI to initiate investigations of any parent attending a local school board meeting who might be viewed as confrontational, intimidating, or harassing. That feels like it's running awfully close to imperiling the democracy, especially since it sounds to me like you might be profiling. What would a person who is viewed as confrontational, intimidating, or harassing look like? What would that person look like if we were going to put out a BOLO alert to law enforcement, right? Be on the lookout for somebody who may be showing up at the school board meeting who is viewed as confrontational, intimidating, or harassing. Perhaps they're simply concerned, unkempt, and emotional. But it gets deeper because Attorney General Merrick Garland's daughter, Rebecca Garland, is married to a guy named Zan Tanner. No, not Santana the band. Zan Tanner. He spells his name X-A-N. Zan Tanner. Mr. Zan Tanner is the current co-founder of a controversial education service called Panorama Education. Well, that doesn't sound very controversial. Panorama Education is the social learning resource material provider to school districts and teachers that teach the critical race theory. Now, wait a minute. So Merrick Garland's son-in-law is married to Merrick Garland's daughter, and he is the co-founder of a controversial education service company called Panorama Education, which is the social learning resource material provider to school districts and teachers that teach critical race theory. There was once a great broadcaster. You'd hear him at lunchtime, who would close this out by saying,
life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
And that man is Merrick Garland's son-in-law. And now you know the rest of the story. Good day.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. So let me close the big loop on this whole hour that we've been talking about with the democracy, protect the democracy, the federalism, all that kind of stuff. Jen Psaki yesterday on the approach to Joe Biden's speech there in Michigan makes the case for the Build Back Better Biden plan and says this, cut 35.
So really, this is a conversation to move the ball forward. And that's part of the conversation I'll have with progressive members and other members later this week.
Can you talk a little bit about tomorrow's trip to Michigan, why he decided to do
sure.
that, what he hopes to accomplish that?
Sure. So tomorrow, he will be traveling to Michigan. As you all know, it's a state that would benefit greatly from both the bipartisan infrastructure package and the Build Back Better agenda. Just to give you a couple of examples, Michiganders, I confirmed that is actually what people from Michigan call themselves.
How elite.
With Chris over here, spend an extra 67% of their time commuting because of the need for updating infrastructure. I mean, this is something that impacts people across the state every single day. Almost 10% of people in Michigan don't have broadband access. That is really something that will help level the playing field for people, whether they're in urban or rural communities. 44% of people in Michigan live in childcare deserts. These are all issues that are addressed by both of these packages. There's more details, and we're happy to provide more to you as we lead into tomorrow. But this is a state that could benefit greatly from the president's bold and ambitious agenda. He wants to go out there and talk about the components and the pieces of these bills that will make people's lives better.
Okay. If you want to do this in Michigan, go do it with Michigan money. Use the Michigander tax dollars to do all this stuff. Why does the federal government have to come in and do that? If they have child care deserts and no broadband, why doesn't Gretch Whitmer spend the money in Michigan on the people in Michigan? Why did Joe Biden go there to Howell, Michigan, which is 93% white, 40 miles away from Flint, Michigan? Flint, Michigan is the site of the disgraceful policies of Miss Mao and nonfeasance, where they never fixed the water pipes and people were dying because of the lead poisoning. He doesn't go there. Why doesn't Joe Biden go to Flint? Why doesn't Joe Biden go to Detroit? Why doesn't he go to the cities? He goes to safe white landist towns like Howell, 93% white. I don't care about the racial makeup per se, but this guy wants to roll in for the Michiganders. And you see, that's the attitude that people like Jen Psaki has. Jen Psaki was raised in a very wealthy suburb outside of New York in Connecticut. How do I know it? I looked it up. She's one of these people that went to an elite school, got a job in Washington, and has never really contributed much to anything in terms of the national debate. Now, I'm not insulting her. Everybody's got to do whatever they got to do for a living. But the fact of the matter is, when you talk about the Michiganders, you know, it's a quaint little faraway place. People in states can spend on stuff that they want. Interstates, okay, that can be a federal job because those are roads that are going to cross into different states. You fund it with the gas tax, you fund it with this, or you fund it with that. But the idea that we've got to build back better, well, here's the thing, all right? People have been exfiltrating Michigan and exfiltrating Illinois and Ohio and New York and a number of other places. Why are they leaving? Because the taxes are too high, the crime might be out of control, the winters are too cold, and they have an opportunity to leave those places to go to more desirable geographic areas like Charlotte, like South Carolina, like Georgia and Florida. Those are states that are adding population. Is it possible that there are child care deserts in Michigan because the people that used to offer child care have left the state for greener pastures and are currently caring for other children in other places? Yes, I do believe that's possible. I do believe that is possible. But here's the takeaway. This is what's so hugely important about the way this is all going at the same time. All right? People move. People move when they get uncomfortable. I left California to come to Charlotte. Why? Because I wanted to be in Charlotte. It's a better place to live. California is a modern-day hellscape in many ways. So I came here, and I like it here. And I didn't bring the kooky California sort of values and politics with me. I understand free markets are good. I understand less regulation is good. I understand a lower cost of living is good. I understand gasoline shouldn't be $9 a gallon. But here's the thing. The thing is, we've got this $3.5 trillion monstrosity that's going to get spent all over the country. But it's not going to be spent in places where it needs to be spent. It's not. You're not going to do anything to aid the individual suffering in Michigan, suffering in Charlotte, suffering in Kentucky, in Indiana, in Louisiana or Mississippi. What you're going to do is you're going to parse the money out to a bunch of bureaucrats and local officials who are going to feather their nests, who are going to give the money to their brother-in-law because he runs a company that's going to put down a road or a sidewalk, and that's the way it's going to be. There is absolutely no justification for sending $3.5 trillion to the federal government so that they can parse it out for projects that the federal government wants to build. They have no idea what's going on in Michigan. They have no idea what's going on in Vermont. They have no idea what's going on in Maine or Oregon. You know who does? The people in those states. The people in those states understand what has to be done. And the sad reality is many people are fleeing these states because they're horrible. I mean, if I said to you today, I want you to move to Erie, Pennsylvania, are you going to go? Some of you might. A large majority will not go. And people in Erie, Pennsylvania are probably sitting there going, man, I got to get out of here. I want to go to the beach. I'm sick of the snow. I'm sick of the taxes. I'm sick of the regulation. And I'm sick of being a part of a one-party state or barely a two-party state. People make decisions all the time. But when you challenge the federal government on this sort of stuff from a state perspective, what do they tell you? They tell you that you're harming the democracy. That's not harming the democracy. It's questioning the policy. Again, ask yourself this question and try to answer it for yourself. If you know any progressives, chances are they're not going to be able to answer it for you. Ask this question. If the climate is changing and we are genuinely imperiled, why is the only way to fix the climate? Why is the only way to fix the climate sending money to crazy Bernie Sanders, AOC, and Joe Biden in Washington, D.C., or the United Nations? Why is that the only way you can do this? Why is it that to fix these problems, the money has to go to 535 politicians, plus a president and vice president in Washington, D.C., to try to get the temperature reduced. It's because it's all a scam. All of it is to separate you from your money and you from your freedom. I'm Brett Whittable, News Talk 1110 993 WBT.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT, hour number two of the Brett Whittable Show underway, and we are happy to be here with you. Who is the most tedious politician in all of America? Yes, that's right. You picked the right name.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly. Tony Blinken. Now, I want to play a clip. This is cut 37. We'll dig up cut 37 here. You're not going to know what he's saying unless, of course, you're fluent in French. But he's getting interviewed by a French reporter. And she says to him, you know, what about what happened with the whole situation in Afghanistan? I mean, how do you kind of explain that, Mr. Secretary of State? I mean, how do you explain what it was that you did there? Do you know that his answer was mission accomplished? He says it was mission accomplished, calls it a success. I'm going to read this to you and then I'm going to let you hear it, okay? Because it'll be in French. Both of them are speaking in French. Secretary of State Antony Blinken was questioned as to how the Biden administration could call the withdrawal from Afghanistan a success while sitting for an interview on Tuesday during his visit to Paris. This withdrawal took place in chaos. We all remember the images of thousands of Afghans trying to get on the planes to escape the Taliban. That was the France 2 TV journalist named Anne-Sophie Lapi asking him that question. And yet, President Biden spoke of success of an extraordinary operation. Is there a misunderstanding, she asked. Blinken responded, the mission in Afghanistan to bring justice to those who attacked us and ensure that this could not happen again had been accomplished years ago. She says, mission accomplished? But the Taliban regained power. You left your weapons. We saw the Taliban dressed as GIs from head to toe, and we heard American veterans screaming in anger. He calls it a success. He says, mission accomplished. In fact, when you hear the clip here, I'm going to play it for you, the back and forth, you'll hear her say, she'll say, le GI. Right. So you'll know that that's the point at which you're hearing it. But I'll let you hear it. If you had any high school French, you'll be able to discern what's being said. But go ahead there, TJ.
Et c'est une mission qui était largement accomplie il y a déjà une décennie. Osama bin Laden a été tué il y a 10 ans maintenant.
Mission accomplie, mais les talibans ont repris le pouvoir. Vous avez laissé vos armes. On a vu ces talibans habillés en GIs de la tête aux pieds et on a entendu ces vétérans américains crier leur colère.
Le groupe qui nous a attaqué, Al-Qaïda, a été quasiment démantelé au cours de ce temps. Et pour nous, en finir avec la guerre la plus longue dans l'histoire des États-Unis, s'assurer qu'une troisième génération d'Américains ne soit pas envoyée en Afghanistan pour se faire tuer était la bonne réponse.
So it was good. It was a success. It was a great turnout. What we did in Afghanistan was absolutely terrific, says Antony Blinken. Now, that's not the only person that was weighing in on this, because, you know, we've got a real problem with the French. And it's not the sort of problem with the French that we have had in the past. It's actually the French are really mad at us, because the French were going to sell the Australians a submarine, a diesel-powered submarine. And we intervened and stopped that deal, and we're selling them one of our submarines. Okay, I'm always happy when the Americans make out, you know, well like that. But we've got a bad relationship with the French. Well, get a load of this. This is John Kerry, cut 34. This is John Kerry, and he's doing an interview, and he's talking about the relationship between Joe Biden and the French. He's in France, by the way. Kerry's in France, and he says, Joe Biden had no idea about this submarine thing, man. It freaked him out. I mean, this guy's not even in control of his own government. Cut 34.
And President Biden asked me about it, and I told him and expressed.
You told Joe Biden that it was not the right.
He asked me. He said, what's the situation? And I explained exactly. He had not been aware of that. He literally had not been aware of what had transpired, and I don't want to go into the details of it, but it to say that the president my president is very committed to strengthening the relationship and making sure that this is a small event of the past and moving on to the much
Wait
more
for
important
it.
Future.
And nothing, oh, nothing is going right.
That's a little throwback to when John Kerry brought James Taylor to France to make up for the hard feelings back during the Obama-Biden administration when they got attacked at Charlie Hebdo and John Kerry didn't show up for like 3 weeks to go talk to the French people about this. Look, we were told that these are the adults. That's the sales pitch. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. But we were told that the prior occupant, the former guy, as President Biden calls President Trump, the former guy was terrible and the world hated us and it was awful and it was the worst thing ever. Well, you've got a wide open border. You've got trashed relations with Mexico. You've got trashed relations with the French. You've got trashed relations with NATO. You got Tony Blinken running all over Paris speaking en français. You've got all this stuff happening at the same time, but you don't have any results. Like, what do you have in terms of results? Right now, as we speak, the Chinese Communist military, the PLA, is flying sorties over Taiwan. And we're not doing anything about it. Except alienating the French. Look, I get it. I mean, you know, it's the French. But they are our oldest ally. They are our oldest ally. They're the first people that threw in with us once we decided to get a divorce from King George III. And so when you look at the situation on the ground, you have to conclude that our foreign policy is a disaster. We are not fundamentally safer. We're not fundamentally regarded as more reliable. Do you know what we're regarded as right now? To be totally honest with you, we're regarded as an available open market for people to come sell their stuff. If you can get it in, you know, through the ports. But we're regarded as a big market that you can come in and sell your stuff. We're not taken seriously from a strategic standpoint. We're not taken seriously from a leadership standpoint in the world. We are in many ways, I do believe, reflecting the decline and fall of the Roman Empire in many ways. Now, that doesn't mean that democracy is going to die. That doesn't mean that we're going to collapse. What I'm saying is we have certainly transitioned from a place of leadership in the world to a place of fellowship. And we've gotten leadership to fellowship. We just want to be with everybody else. We're just like everybody else. The Norwegians, the Finns, Mongolia, we're just like every other country out there. Don't expect too much from us. We might be tied up or busy. We might be out running around with a pink hat on our head to make a political point. But darn it, we care about the climate. It's really weird, isn't it? Did you ever think you'd get to this place this quickly? We're talking about...
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Less than a year. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. So in Pennsylvania, there's a state representative, and he is introducing legislation in response to the... law that was passed out of the state of Texas, right? You know about the law in the state of Texas where you've got to, 6 weeks to have an abortion, and then after that point it's prohibited, and then there's a number of other measures attached to it that have drawn the ire of protesters. Well, this feller in Pennsylvania's got a really interesting idea. I think he's nuts, and here's why. Pennsylvania state representative announced that he's going to introduce legislation that would force men to get vasectomies within 6 weeks of having their third child or their 40th birthday, whichever comes first. State Representative Christopher Rabb, Democrat, is creating the bill in response to the Texas Heartbeat Act, a pro-life law that was just enacted in the Lone Star State that bans abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected. Leftists have been outraged since the law went into effect, and many claim Republicans made the law to control women's bodies, including Rabb. But see, this is what happens when you deal with like some of these progressives, because they don't think this through. Understand what he's saying. He's saying that you must get a vasectomy within 6 weeks of having their third child or their 40th birthday, whichever comes first. There's a lot of guys that are not going to march against that. There are a lot of guys who are going to be like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. So you're saying come age 40 or the third child, I'm in a position where I don't have to worry about that anymore. See, this is the problem with progressives, because that's the way they think. Your contention, if you're a progressive, is that this is punishing a woman. But many men will not think that that is punishment. I mean, they may have a religious objection to it, but they're not going to say this is punish. You're punishing me. Darn it. What am I going to do now? This is why people don't take folks seriously when it comes to making policy based on emotion. It is the worst motivation in the world. If you decide you're going to make policy based on emotion, do you know what you're going to get? And you know darn well where I'm going with this. You make policy based on emotion, you know what you get? You get the Patriot Act. Oh, we just got attacked by Al-Qaeda. So you know what we got to do? We got to lock down Americans from having any freedom. Wait a minute. Hold on. Why does Al-Qaeda attacked us from Saudi Arabia and Afghanistan, and now you want to know what I'm reading on my book? Hold on. You want to know who I'm talking to on my cell phone? Wait, it wasn't Americans that attacked us. It was Saudis that attacked us. It was Al-Qaeda jihadists. Why wouldn't you go institute a Patriot Act over in Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan? Why wouldn't you deny them from being able to fly into our country? Instead, you punish the American people. This is the failed orientation of not just, it's not just progressives, because the Patriot Act was pushed by like super conservatives that wanted to say, we're going to lock this thing down and make sure we've got records of who's doing what. When you make policy, when you write laws based on emotion, you end up with a mess. It's kind of the narrative that you've had for a really long time from Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Thomas Massey, there in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. You have people who sit back and they say, wait a minute, hold on. I believe that there should be freedom. My default position is freedom. Now, if you want to come in and you want to tell me that I have got to surrender my freedom, you have got to have a compelling reason for me to surrender my freedom. I mean, I can use Joe Biden's rationale with the whole Afghanistan thing, right? I can say, listen, there hasn't been an attack using American aircraft on American soil in 20 years. Why do I still have to take a belt off at the airport? Why do I still have to take off my shoes? There hasn't been a shoe bomber attempt. There hasn't been any of this. None of this. Why am I supposed to take off my shoes? Why am I supposed to take off my belt? Why am I supposed to stand there with my hands over my head, making a big octopus kind of shape of myself with my feet standing spread apart on top of a spot that 2,000 other people had their filthy, disgusting athlete's foot feet there? Why am I doing that as the machine goes around me? Should I not at least get a prostate screening as a result of that? Should I not have something to show for that? Why am I not getting, why is it not also giving me a colonoscopy? So that at least, you know, it's a pain in the, but at least I got results. Like, that should be, you know, why am I giving up my liberty for that? Why can't my kid go to the gate with me? My kid can't go to the gate with me to go see mom off on a business trip or to go meet grandma and grandpa. We used to do it all the time. Sure, it got a little inconvenient when you ran into a LaRouche or you ran into a Mooney or somebody trying to sell you flowers or whatever it was. That was a little bit of a consternation, right? That was a little annoying. But again, our default position when this guy Rab here, Christopher Rab from Pennsylvania, said, we're gonna punish the people of Texas by messing and ordering vasectomies for people from Pennsylvania. That makes as much sense as attacking Iraq because bin Laden attacked us from Afghanistan. It's like exactly the same thinking. Have we not learned anything? Smart guy just sent me an instant message. How do you know there's athletes' feet all over the yellow feet in the scanner machine? Because I don't think they ever mop it. That thing hasn't been mopped since the Muppets were on TV. What are you talking about? Meanwhile, I'm standing there. They're scanning me. Next time I go to the airport, TJ, remind me this. Put a note for me, please, on a post-it. Next time I go, I'm standing in that thing. I want to see how powerful the scanner is. I'm holding a bag of Pop Secret in my hand over my head. So at least I have a delicious snack as I approach the gate, because I don't want to pay $7.50 for popcorn. We're going to punish these people in Texas by making Pennsylvanians have vasectomies. The only way that benefits the people of the state of Texas is if those Pennsylvanians decide they want to move to the state of Texas. Then they can kind of claim a benefit. They'd be like, okay, at least we don't have any more Steelers fans coming down here. We don't need no more of those Steelers fans or Eagles fans. Now they've been fixed. 704-570. This is all what happens when you get an emotional response to policy. And we've got to take...
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The emotion out of it. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. Our phone number, inviting you to be part of the discussion, 704-570-1110. So we're looking with an eye toward what's going to happen during the holiday season. No, this is not another one of these stories about shortages of items and you're not going to be able to get what you want. But Target is increasing holiday pay in an attempt to compete amid a retail worker shortage, right? You've got this retail worker shortage that's out there. Any business out there is familiar with this situation. And so Target has decided they want to be preemptive and they're going to up the pay rate for people to go to work. So you will be paid $2 more an hour based on the shift that you work. Target is giving its employees the gift of $2 an hour more this holiday season amid the current labor crunch. The big box retailer said Tuesday that hourly workers in stores, service centers, and supply chain positions, as well as some headquarter positions and seasonal team members, will receive an extra $2 for select hours that they work. Do you think that that is going to be enough to induce people to go back to work en masse? Now, previously, the big box retailer said it would be scaling back holiday hiring and give more hours to its staff. The retailer is offering higher pay as many retailers struggle to fill jobs and focus on retaining employees ahead of the peak shopping season. The extra pay will go to store employees and service center employees who work on Saturdays and Sundays from November 20th to December 19th on Christmas Eve or the day after Christmas. Do you ever, do you ever go to the retailers the day after Christmas? I don't think I have ever gone to a retailer the day after Christmas. I know there's all that sales stuff that happens and the trading in your stuff and all that. I don't think I have ever gone to a retailer the day after Christmas because at that point, I'm just gassed from the whole holiday experience. I feel kind of like, I feel dirty going the day after Christmas to return stuff. It feels transactional to me. Hourly supply chain employees can get the additional pay for the peak two-week periods between October 10th and December 18th, a crucial time for moving goods to shelves and packing boxes. The specific timing will depend on where the employees work. Now, Target's minimum wage is $15 an hour. The company is sweetening the deal and offering even higher pay for holiday workers as many retailers are trying to fill those jobs. So you're talking about going from $15 an hour to $17 an hour. That would be something I think that would be attractive, especially if you're a younger person, a single person that doesn't necessarily have responsibilities. I'll tell you who I think deserves to be paid substantially more during the holiday season, during Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus, New Year's, you name it. The people that wrap the gifts, because I cannot imagine the stress of having to wrap gifts like on a timed basis. It's one thing, you know, you're at home, you're helping Santa, it's late at night, you're watching a John Cusack movie, you're having, you know, some Oreos and Zambuca or something, you know, relaxing. But the idea that I'm going to sit there and there's someone that I don't know is going to come up and say, I'd like you to wrap this jacket for me. Now I got to get a box. I got to put it in the box. I got to fold it up. I got to put the right patent. And you know, let's be honest. You may be a little fast and loose with the taping of the paper. Like sometimes you're not like totally, it's not totally clean and beautiful. There's like a big old elongated hump over here on this side. And then this side's all flat, especially if you're getting something that's not conventional. Like if you're getting baby's first bowling ball set or baby's first bowling ball. Yeah, I'm trying to wrap the bowling ball, man. That thing is heavy. It's got little tiny baby holes in it. My fingers aren't going to fit in that hole. And I can't wrap that ball. I mean, I don't know what to do in that regard. And am I doing that for $17? I mean, I think I'm stressing out so much for $17. That's why I think somebody younger might be good at that. Okay? Now, the supply chain, the back office people, that sort of stuff, you've got that. I think what you ought to do is have tiered, you have tiered paying. In other words, obviously, the checkers, the people who are checking people out. No, I don't mean looking at people. I mean checking people out for their purchase, I think you pay them the most. I think you pay the rappers, not people who are performers that are rappers, people that are wrapping gifts. I think they're like second. Supply chain, back office, back of the store stuff, you're not really being stressed out. You're moving a box from this to here. You get the forklift. You're trying to get the tent and the swimming pool or whatever you're trying to get down. You're being left alone for the most part. If you're a front-facing worker at a retail establishment, I mean, you are storming the beaches of the holiday season. You need to make a little bit more money. Like, I'd be willing to go $20.22 an hour for cashier slash wrappers. And what I would do is I'd index it according to the shortness to the holiday. In other words, if you work December 24th, you're going to make ka-ching. You're going to make a lot of money. If you're just rolling in here December 5th, you know, there's not as much pressure there involved. And I think that's how you handle this kind of stuff. Again, it's one of these things where I think you're certainly going to be trying to attract a younger group of people who are going to come in there and work because maybe they don't have the same obligations that the older folks do. I mean, I can literally fix anything if you give me enough lead time. Okay, so now somebody is saying to me, why would you buy a baby a bowling ball? I said it's baby's first bowling ball. Okay? It's like it weighs like a shot put. And you drill the little holes, little tiny baby finger holes in it. Because I mean and trying to wrap that when I'm holding it is very difficult. So now the guy's hitting me on instant message saying, why wouldn't you just give your baby a shot put? Because that's dangerous. I mean, what are we, East Germany? Come on, this isn't some super baby.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The Olympian? News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. Our phone number, inviting you to be part of the discussion, 704-570-1110. So we're looking with an eye toward what's going to happen during the holiday season. No, this is not another one of these stories about shortages of items and you're not going to be able to get what you want. But Target is increasing holiday pay in an attempt to compete amid a retail worker shortage, right? You've got this retail worker shortage that's out there. Any business out there is familiar with this situation. And so Target has decided they want to be preemptive and they're going to up the pay rate for people to go to work. So you will be paid $2 more an hour based on the shift that you work. Target is giving its employees the gift of $2 an hour more this holiday season amid the current labor crunch. The big box retailer said Tuesday that hourly workers in stores, service centers, and supply chain positions, as well as some headquarter positions and seasonal team members, will receive an extra $2 for select hours that they work. Do you think that that is going to be enough to induce people to go back to work en masse? Now, previously, the big box retailer said it would be scaling back holiday hiring and give more hours to its staff. The retailer is offering higher pay as many retailers struggle to fill jobs and focus on retaining employees ahead of the peak shopping season. The extra pay will go to store employees and service center employees who work on Saturdays and Sundays from November 20th to December 19th on Christmas Eve or the day after Christmas. Do you ever, do you ever go to the retailers the day after Christmas? I don't think I have ever gone to a retailer the day after Christmas. I know there's all that sales stuff that happens and the trading in your stuff and all that. I don't think I have ever gone to a retailer the day after Christmas because at that point, I'm just gassed from the whole holiday experience. I feel kind of like, I feel dirty going the day after Christmas to return stuff. It feels transactional to me. Hourly supply chain employees can get the additional pay for the peak two-week periods between October 10th and December 18th, a crucial time for moving goods to shelves and packing boxes. The specific timing will depend on where the employees work. Now, Target's minimum wage is $15 an hour. The company is sweetening the deal and offering even higher pay for holiday workers as many retailers are trying to fill those jobs. So you're talking about going from $15 an hour to $17 an hour. That would be something I think that would be attractive, especially if you're a younger person, a single person that doesn't necessarily have responsibilities. I'll tell you who I think deserves to be paid substantially more during the holiday season, during Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus, New Year's, you name it. The people that wrap the gifts, because I cannot imagine the stress of having to wrap gifts like on a timed basis. It's one thing, you know, you're at home, you're helping Santa, it's late at night, you're watching a John Cusack movie, you're having, you know, some Oreos and Zambuca or something, you know, relaxing. But the idea that I'm going to sit there and there's someone that I don't know is going to come up and say, I'd like you to wrap this jacket for me. Now, I got to get a box. I got to put it in the box. I got to fold it up. I got to put the right patent. And you know, let's be honest. You may be a little fast and loose with the taping of the paper. Like, sometimes you're not, like, totally, it's not totally clean and beautiful. There's, like, a big old elongated hump over here on this side, and then this side's all flat. Especially if you're getting something that's not conventional. Like, if you're getting baby's first bowling ball set or baby's first bowling ball. Yeah, I'm trying to wrap the bowling ball, man. That thing is heavy. It's got little tiny baby holes in it. My fingers aren't going to fit in that hole, and I can't wrap that ball. I mean, I don't know what to do in that regard. And am I doing that for $17? I mean, I think I'm stressing out so much for $17. That's why I think somebody younger might be good at that. Okay? Now, the supply chain, the back office people, that sort of stuff, you've got that. I think what you ought to do is have tiered paying. In other words, obviously, the checkers, the people who are checking people out. No, I don't mean looking at people. I mean checking people out for their purchase. I think you pay them the most. I think you pay the wrappers, not people who are performers that are wrappers, people that are wrapping gifts. I think they're like second. Supply chain, back office, back of the store stuff, you're not really being stressed out. You're moving a box from this to here. You get the forklift. You're trying to get the tent and the swimming pool or whatever you're trying to get down. You're being left alone for the most part. If you're a front-facing worker at a retail establishment, I mean, you are storming the beaches of the holiday season. You need to make a little bit more money. Like, I'd be willing to go $20.22 an hour for cashier slash wrappers. And what I would do is I'd index it according to the shortness to the holiday. In other words, if you work December 24th, you're going to make ka-ching. You're going to make a lot of money. If you're just rolling in here December 5th, you know, there's not as much pressure there involved. And I think that's how you handle this kind of stuff. Again, it's one of these things where I think you're certainly going to be trying to attract a younger group of people who are going to come in there and work because maybe they don't have the same obligations that the older folks do. I mean, I can literally fix anything if you give me enough lead time. Okay, so now somebody is saying to me, why would you buy a baby a bowling ball? I said it's baby's first bowling ball. Okay? It's like, it weighs like a shot put. and you drill the little holes, the little tiny baby finger holes in it. Because, I mean, and trying to wrap that when I'm holding it is very difficult. So now the guy's hitting me on instant message saying, why wouldn't you just give your baby a shot put? Because that's dangerous. I mean, what are we, East Germany? Come on, this isn't some super baby Olympian.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Later this hour, we cross the streams with Bo Thompson. And then we're joined in studio by Breaking Brett Jensen, who will be in for Mark Garrison tonight on Charlotte at 6. He's got a number of big stories that he's going to share with the audience. In the meantime, I want to invite you to be a part of our conversation, our discussion. Everything is fair game. If you've been listening for the last 2 hours, thank you so much. If you're just jumping in the car right now, welcome to the program. 704-570-1110. Let me mention this right out of the box. I've got a question running over at the Brett Winterbull Show Facebook page. Okay, you guys can jump on over there. You can participate. You can read the comments from other folks. Here's the question. Nothing to do with politics. Nothing to do with anger and rancor or any of those sorts of things. Oh, those are coming. Don't worry. But the question is, if you could have one power out of this list, what power would you take? What would it be? Invisibility, the ability to fly without a vehicle, or time travel 25 times. Which would you take, and what would you do with it first? That's the question. Now, the time travel question, I had to do a clarification, 25 times round trip. You can't go time traveling forever. You got to go and come back 25 times. That's the max. I'm sorry, I can't extend the lease. We got to turn it in. But you could also be invisible. I mean, you could be invisible, you can fly without a vehicle, or time travel 25 times. I'm not even going to tell you what's leading the pack. You have to go check it out over at the Brett Winterbull Show Facebook page, where you will get your yucks and probably learn a lot, too. Some of the answers are really quite thoughtful. Somebody who's not thoughtful. Well, it's most of the people on CNN. I'm sorry, I have to be honest. The people on CNN are part of the partisan rancor in as much as anybody else is part of the partisan rancor. Oh, yeah, Brett? So you're going after the CNN anchors. What about your anchoring and your partisan rancor? Yes, I bring the partisan rancor sometimes. Sometimes. Stephanie Grisham, once upon a time, was the chief of staff to the first lady, Melania Trump. And then she was wrangled into becoming the spokesperson for President Trump. And remember, she was there for a very short period of time. She never did a single press conference, by the way. But she's written a book and she talks about all of her regrets working with the Trump administration, working with President Trump, working with Melania Trump, how let down she was by the experience. So she's written this book because she says, listen, if Trump gets back into the White House, he's going to be punitive. He's going to be trying to settle scores, doing all these sorts of things. So she's making the rounds. And she made a stop over on CNN, talked to Jake Tapper. Well, Don Lemon was unnerved over this, positively unnerved. This is cut number 36. This is Don Lemon taking her to task. And I've got some real questions about his reaction. Cut 36.
Stephanie Grisham, you know, the one who never held a press briefing, which was her job. Now she is warning if the former president were to win a second term, he would surround himself with the January 6th crowd.
I have said people such as Sidney Powell or Rudy Giuliani or some of the people who believe wholeheartedly in these conspiracy theories. I believe that if he were to win in 2024, he will pick whoever stood by him, you know, defended him, and he will place those people who will have defended the indefensible into the White House.
Go ahead, Don. Go ahead. Talk.
Okay. There's so much I want to say. Where were these people when it was happening? When they were... Just hold the prompt. Where were these people when they were... Where was this attitude when they were on Fox News saying the most insane stuff? Defending the most insane behavior. Talking crap about CNN... and the fake news, not holding press conferences, making excuses for everything that Trump did, playing cleanup on aisle 45. Every day. To fake news. Now they want to come on CNN. Why do you want to come on CNN to sell a book when all you did was talk crap about CNN? Huh? Or any other network. Go on the Fox Propaganda Network and sell your book. Why didn't you stand up for our democracy when you had the chance to do it?
Oh, he said the magic word. I said the magic word.
When it mattered.
Oh, gosh. See, the democracy. Why didn't you stand up for the democracy? It's how we started the program a little bit after three. The throwing around the notion of we must protect and preserve the democracy. The democracy is fragile. The democracy is about to die. We are in so much trouble in our democracy. No, we're not. We're really not. We're not in any trouble in the, quote, democracy. The system worked. Joe Biden got elected. He's the president. He's in charge of all three branches of government right now, right? Or the two houses and the presidency. He's in charge. He's in charge. He's doing this Build Back Better Biden bill. He's doing all this other sort of stuff. The democracy is working fine, and we're not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. And I will say this repeatedly for the next coming months if I have to keep responding to this. We are not a democracy. We have democratic institutions where we all vote for our school board, we vote for our state reps, we vote for our federal lawmaker, we vote for all of those positions. Yes, absolutely. But we are a federalist system, meaning the states have the say. All you guys with your democracy can just take your democracy, fill your pipe and smoke it. It doesn't function as a democracy. And all you're getting from the progressives who are now in charge, Don Lemon's a progressive, Chris Cuomo's a progressive, Anderson Cooper's a progressive, all these folks are progressives. All you get from them is this idea that the democracy is in danger. So if Donald Trump gets the nomination for the Republican Party, the democracy will be in trouble. If Donald Trump gets elected, the democracy will be in trouble. If Donald Trump thinks about running for office, the democracy is in trouble. If DeSantis decides he's going to run, the democracy is in trouble. Lindsey Graham got reelected, the democracy is in trouble. And the democracy is in so much trouble, but it's not. It's fake. It's phony. This is a catastrophe of the media's own making. Our country is functioning. I'm not looking out the window here and watching people beating each other up in an intersection. All right. They seem to think that what happened with Biden's policies in Afghanistan are happening here in the United States. I assure you that's not the case. I would be very happy indeed if Joe Biden agreed to pull out of the United States. Sadly, the democracy doesn't ask for that. And that's because we have rules of the road. And so when you watch these anchors huffing and puffing and trying to blow the house down, telling you the democracy is in danger, don't buy it. It's a lazy argument, and it's one unworthy of our constitutional republic.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993-WBT. I'm Brett Witterbull, and this is Bo Thompson. We go AM, PM, crossing the streams every day at about this time. We also do it in the morning. And I feel obligated very quickly to encourage people to go back and listen to the podcast, especially from about 8:35 this morning, Bo Thompson, where there was a big reveal. A shockingly big reveal on your podcast that none of us had really been exposed to Tango and Cash.
Oh, it's what I did this afternoon. I watched it.
Did you really?
No.
Oh, that would have been so good. Why didn't you just lie? That would have been better. Okay. But none of us have been exposed. We were exposed theoretically to Tango and Cash. But if you know, if you listen at 8:30 in the morning, sometimes the Tango and Cash reference will come up as part of the Karate Kid. And we all had a moment of none of us saw Tango and Cash.
I just goes to show you that you and I are so fascinated with Johnny Lawrence that we just believe what he says without even verifying that the movie is good.
Or even existed.
Correct.
That's right. Bo Thompson, I have a question for you. We will get into the heavy-duty other stuff that's going on here. But I have a question up over at the Facebook page, at the Brett Winterble Show Facebook page. And the question is, if you could have one of these skills, one of these powers, what would you take? The power of invisibility? The power of flying without a vehicle? Or time travel, 25 times round trip? What would you take?
Is this just, did you just decide this on your own?
I did. I did.
You or somebody else ask out there polling this somewhere?
No. This is me. This is me. It's just a question. I figured people needed a break from the heavy duty politicking, and so we threw that up there on the Facebook page.
Fascinating options, but I have major questions.
Go ahead.
So there's a stipulation on number three, 25 times, but not there's no time limit on the invisibility.
Correct.
There's no time limit on the flying without the vehicle.
Affirmative.
Now, I have more questions.
Yeah.
So is this time travel a la Ebenezer Scrooge? Like, you go back and you can see what happened in time, but you can't mess with it? Or is this like Back to the Future, where you can go back and actually and cause change? And there's one other addendum to that. Is this the kind of time travel that actually would encompass one of your other options? Because if it's Back to the Future style, you would be able to fly in a car.
Well, okay, but that's a vehicle. So here's the deal. I'm telling you it would be Back to the Future style. It wouldn't be like, you know, some virtual reality where you just get to go look at, oh, there's George Washington, you know,
right,
having a fist fight with Thomas Jefferson.
Relive it.
You go back. I mean, you will go back in time to whatever time you want for 25 runs, round trip, and you get to see different things. So you have to choose wisely.
I think I'd choose the time travel.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's tempting because with the time travel you only have 25 shots at this. With the invisibility or
it's
the flying,
unlimited.
Tough. I see it's tough. But I think I like the time travel.
I wouldn't do the time travel because you know what? Let's be honest. We look back at history and we idealize it. The reality is being invisible is pretty good. Being invisible is pretty good, and flying without a vehicle is really good. So I would think I would be inclined to go invisible.
Well, I mean, if it gets me in a DeLorean to 88 miles per hour, then you know where I'm going.
Of course, I get you on that one. Yeah. All right, very good. Big news for the Panthers as we see a brand new defensive powerhouse coming to the Panthers. How do we feel about this announcement, Bo Thompson?
They are not playing around. The time is now. I mean, if you watch what this team is doing, C.J. Henderson a few weeks ago, and you understand that's a necessity, but the Carolina Panthers, if you didn't believe that they believe the time is now, mm-hmm. and the season is here, not in a few years, but this season, you know, Stephon Gilmore, I mean, this is stunning to people all around the league, including, you know, members of the New England Patriots. So the fact that they pulled this off, and I watched some of the press conference and the comments by Coach Rhule, they basically saying if it's out there, if you have this opportunity, you have to take it when you get a player of this caliber. I love the attitude. I feel like hopefully it all comes together, and if you know you get J.C. Horn back at some point, and you get all these pieces playing together, it certainly is an exciting time. Maybe the biggest sense of excitement since the 2015 season, because you're sitting at 3-1, you played Dallas tough, you have a soft schedule coming up, you're back at home for 2 weeks, and I know that Gilmore can't play for, what, another couple of weeks, or mm-hmm. 6 weeks in before he can play, that he comes off the list, but, I mean, this team is, with apologies to the Charlotte Hornets, there's a buzz surrounding the Carolina Panthers right now.
I agree with you, and don't forget that as you get to the end of the year, you got the Buccaneers twice.
Yeah. I mean, it's, it makes me wonder. The Panthers don't have any primetime games left, but it makes me wonder if when they start flexing those games towards the end of the season, whether we do find our way onto Sunday Night Football or whether we do start warranting some more national attention. I like I said last week, if we had beaten the Cowboys, then the entire country would be on the bandwagon. But, you know, I saw some of the talking heads this afternoon, and this move in of itself before they even play again is turning heads.
Well, November 7th, the Pats and the Panthers play each other. Maybe that thing goes to a flex get or something. You know, I mean,
well, and you know what? You know, that on paper, because of Cam Newton, back when the schedule was drawn up, that was going to be the big game for the Carolina Panthers because it's the return of Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. Cam Newton's not there, but now this adds some juice to that game, whether or not it's flexed. I mean, just the fact that, you know, then now there's an added layer to that game, so it's very intriguing, man. I'm excited. I can't wait to hear what Zoki thinks about this tomorrow morning.
Indeed. Brett Jensen will be coming by later on in the last segment of the hour, and we'll get his thoughts on that as well. In addition, there's a little bit of the tea leaves real quick here. We've got McAuliffe, who's running for the governorship in the Commonwealth of Virginia, admits unpopular Biden is causing headwinds. What about unpopular McAuliffe saying that parents don't have a right to have commentary on what the kids are learning?
Well, yeah, and you know that if he's saying this, that there are certain people within the Democratic Party that say things, and it kind of like I was talking about with the Panthers, mm-hmm. there are certain players that turn heads around the league, certain mm-hmm. moves. Mm-hmm. When he says this about Joe Biden, that turns my head a bit.
Going to be an interesting thing to watch. All right, who we got coming up tomorrow on The Big Shoe?
Well, you talk about Brett Jensen. Brett Jensen's back in his Thursday slot with me tomorrow. And like I said, reaction from Zoki, reaction from Jensen. Panthers, big talk, and I'm excited to of course, 8:30 we crossed, or 8:35 we crossed the streams in the other direction. And, you know, I might have to think up my own poll question tomorrow.
You should. You know,
I'm going to have to answer back in the vein of the one you've chosen here. I'm going to have to get the wheels turning tonight.
That's good.
I might have you on by the next time we talk.
That's good. And let me just say this, because I don't want to know now. I don't want to know, but I want revealed tomorrow whether or not Brett Jensen ever saw Tango and Cash.
Are you kidding? He probably was in it.
Let me tell you something, Bo Thompson.
Oh, whoa, here he comes. He's storming in.
I have seen Tango and Cash probably 15 times. Not even a joke. Wait, not even a joke.
Did he say Turner and Hooch or Tango and Cash?
Tango and Cash. Kindergarten cop. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but for tomorrow morning, biscuits, donuts. Look, I may be cheap, but I ain't free.
There we go.
So I'm just saying.
To be continued.
To be continued. Poll questions included. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Have a good night, Bob.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show. All right, let me jump out and grab a call here. We have Stan. Stan's always bringing it. Hello, Stan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, sir?
Hi, Brett. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling today.
Yeah, I want to run something by you.
Sure.
The child tax credit that came out is supposedly a result of COVID.
Yes.
Something about it just didn't add up to me, and I've been doing some thinking about this, and I want to run something I think by you.
Okay.
What I think is, I think they're giving you this money, and they're going to let you get used to this as part of your budget every month.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think at some point they're going to require you to keep the tax deduction to send your kids to public schools, or the money goes away.
Wow, that is I like the diabolical nature of your theory here, because I could see that being the case. What I think that is that's kind of iffy on this child tax credit, you know, you get the deposit into your account every month or whatever it is that I think you're going to have to pay taxes on it down the road, because there's no way to refuse it. Like, there's no way for you to say, I'm not taking the money. It just shows up in your account.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no way to refuse it. But I could totally see them saying, if your kid is in public school, or they incentivize with more money if your kid's in public school. Right. If they say, well, you're getting $1,500 a month right now. If you keep your kid in public school, we'll give you $3,500 a month. And now we're starting to talk about real money here. That's
Part of it will be that you couldn't complain about the curriculum.
Right. No CRT, no disruptions. You know what else they could do, though? Right. Think about all the stuff that they can do because of that money going funneled into you. Right. They could mandate a vaccine. They could mandate a booster shot. They could mandate that you buy particular health insurance, that you, I mean, there's any number of things.
I think they have figured out, okay, what is a kid actually worth? So they're in the process of buying your kids is what they're doing.
I think your original point is right on, though. The idea that they're going to anesthetize you because you need that money. You know, you start to count on it every month. Think about all the people that you and I have known through our lives, wherein they are reliant on that tax refund coming, you know, right after they file their paperwork. In fact, you know, there's a very famous tax preparation company that we all know. They're an iconic company where, you know, the big thing was to go file your taxes and then they'll give you the check right there against whatever your refund's going to be. You know, it's the government has incredible power when they try to induce you by giving you stuff. And that's what takes resistance.
The other thing is that 60% of people don't even pay income taxes. So those people are just getting an extra $3,600 a year from the federal government.
Right. That's true. So here's what you have to then do. This is why, and I say this frequently, though it hasn't picked up any momentum. We have got to scrap the Internal Revenue Service code as it is. And I understand that there are tax lawyers, and I understand that there are accountants and accounting firms that are going to fight that tooth and nail. But if we go to a fair tax, everybody gets to keep all their money and just pay the taxes on the stuff you buy. Presto changeo, the rich are paying more than a single mom because the rich are buying yachts and sports cars and jets. And then you don't have to worry about shielding your income.
It's naturally progressive.
It's naturally progressive. You know, it's like an all-you-can-eat meal, right? You can pay $10.99 to go to the steakhouse, and you can have, you know, seven ribeyes if you want, if you can eat that many. But maybe you're only going to eat a half a ribeye, right? I mean, it's just that's what it is. And that's a consumption tax, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. What they'll do is they'll come out and they'll say, well, you can't really do it that way because it's going to affect the poor people the most. Actually, that's not the case, because the people who will be paying under a fair tax model would be the people who don't pay any taxes now, specifically criminals and the under the table business and the black market that exists out there. You'd be recapturing a ton of money back into the economy.
Yeah, you would be.
I mean, because everybody's got to buy sneakers. Everybody's got to buy fruit roll-ups. I mean, everybody's got to buy, you know, menthols. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, that's what happens.
Enjoy your show, Brett.
Thanks. I appreciate you, Stan. Okay, so maybe they wouldn't be menthols. I mean, they could be anything. Swisher Sweets. I mean, they could be anything. You know? Phillies. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, the fact is, we've got to rethink the way we handle this stuff. Look, if you, I'll give you a good example here. So, people think nothing of buying Powerball tickets or buying Mega Millions or any of that kind of stuff, right? So, if you decided that you were going to go to a fair tax, you could figure out a way to add additional federal revs on sports betting, right? You could have like, oh, we're going to just put a 2% fee on your sports bet. Somebody who's going to go drop $1,000 on a game is not going to be fazed by 2% or 1%. They're not going to be fazed by it at all because they know they're going to make big money. And this is just the VIG to the government. It's the Biden VIG. It's the Hunter Joe Biden VIG. That's, you got to pay the VIG, the vigorish. That's all you got to do. But the thing is, you could fund so much stuff. Just think of the stuff you could build, the things you could do, the places you could go. You could do all that sort of stuff if you were just going to take a little bit from everybody rather than saying, well, we're just going to ring up the top 22%, of which the top are using vehicles by which they can shield their consumption. That wouldn't be the case if you were doing a fair tax. Oh, you just bought a Lambo? Okay, here's the tax. You just bought a jet? Here's the tax. You just bought another mansion? Here's the tax. You know, I mean, that's what you got. Just think about it. People that don't buy that stuff don't pay that tax. People that do buy that stuff pay that tax. It's only fair, folks. I mean, it's...
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Only fair. Oh, you know what that means? It means it's Jensen time. Brett Jensen approaching the microphone. He's going to be hosting Charlotte. It's, I was told that this is one of your tunes, one of your go-tos.
I absolutely loathe this song. I hate this song so much.
I told you, TJ.
So much so that I actually changed the lyrics that I can't say on radio.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
We should have gone with Spice Girls.
That would not be okay.
See, that would have been better.
I actually would have gone with that one.
Make
TJ.
A note.
Nice job.
Make a note. We're going to be using this a lot. So
here that's we go. Right. Little Ginger.
Good to have you Sporty. Here. Good to have you here, Brett Jensen. So we got Charlotte at 6 coming up, yep. Just after 6, obviously. And I wanted to bring you in here to ask you a couple questions. First, you were doing a little Panther action today?
Yeah, two and a half hours over there at B of A.
So you got Stephon Gilmore?
No, because he's still like making his way here, but we did get the GM, Scott Fitterer.
But the announcement.
Yeah, the announcement. Mm-hmm. We got the general manager, Scott Fitterer. You know, obviously Matt Rhule, Sam Darnold was there. Dante Jackson, because, you know, in theory, he's going to be the one lined up against him.
Right.
And Dante Jackson's contract's up at the end of the year, and so is Stephon Gilmore's contract is up at the end of the year. So that's a big deal. Two really good cornerbacks, and are either one going to be here next year? And so there was a lot to talk about like that, yeah.
What are the what's the expectation moving forward? I mean, I know obviously it's to win games, but lessons learned and taken from that matchup against Dallas a couple days ago.
So I saw somewhere that the theory was Dallas, I think the headline was Dallas exposes weakness in Carolina's defense, which the weakness was going to be the secondary and has been the secondary. That's where everyone just assumed the weakness was going to be, and everyone assumed the strength was going to be the pass rush and the run defense.
Right.
And it was the exact opposite that happened. I mean, yeah, Dak had 4 touchdowns, but those were like very short and tiny touchdowns for the most part, and except for the one to maybe Amari Cooper, but I mean, he only threw for like 160 yards, but the team ran, Dallas ran for like 250, 275 yards, whatever it was.
Right.
So, you know, what to take away from it, I don't know. We'll know, and this is not going to be a really good test. I mean, they're playing, you know, sorry, Philadelphia this week here. They should handle Philadelphia. If they lose this week by some magic potion to Philadelphia,
well, you got a problem.
Now you got problems. Now you got problems.
Yeah. But the defense is very stout, and you know, I think that's a huge part of the excitement. And again, I keep saying this, and I'm a Cowboys fan, and I have been my whole life, and I get grief from the Cowboys fans here in town because they think I'm not going hard enough on the Panthers. But I like to see the Panthers play well, right? And so as a result, yeah, I think it was a chance for them to wake up, and now they get to march on down the road and beat Tampa twice.
Look, there were 4 quarters played, and the defense was horrific in 1 quarter, just the 3rd quarter. And it was fine in the 4th, it was fine in the 1st, and it was fine in the 2nd.
Right.
It was just, Sam Darnold threw a couple of interceptions, and they couldn't stop Dak. You know, they couldn't stop Ezekiel Elliott, the running back. That 3rd quarter was an utter disaster. But the other 3 quarters, they played okay. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about other utter disasters. Yeah. Obviously, we saw the latest in the last 24 hours with guns showing up at school. We know that there was a shooting in Texas today. What is going on here, Brett Jensen? Do we just have to have wands, and do we have to have security doors and SROs everywhere? I mean, what do we have to have in these schools right now?
Well, you do have a school resource officer at every single school.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, you know, the thing is, though, in terms of, look, if you live in Salisbury,
right,
the odds of you needing a metal detector or a wand is very minimal. I mean, like, if you're a small school system in a rural county, you don't necessarily need to go out there because you're generally not having gun problems. But when you're in a city, the 15th biggest city in America in terms of city limits, not metro, but just the city limits, 15th biggest in America. And you are a city that has been prone to a lot of violence over the last 3 or 4 years, since 2019, 2019, 2020, and then again this year. So the last 3 years, prone to a lot of violence, and you're seeing what's going on. You know, I know we always hear pandemic, epidemic, pandemic because of COVID. This is an epidemic in terms of CMS and guns.
Sure.
8 guns?
Right.
8 guns.
Right.
And
plus, you can attack on a knife and then a couple of sex assaults.
That's exactly right. And that's just what we know about.
Right.
I don't know if any other guns have been found because CMS isn't telling us. They don't tell us when guns are found. They just don't.
They're trying
to keep it quiet.
Maybe you got to talk to Ernest Winston about that.
Well, we'll tell you when guns are found. We'll tell you, because I asked that two weeks ago. Oh, we'll tell you when guns are found. Really? Because you haven't, because I've had to break the last three stories. Not the Geringer one, but the three previous before that. Mm-hmm. I had to break the sexual assault story. Mm-hmm. I had to break the story about the kid playing at Olympic High School wearing an ankle monitor, which has now led to suspensions at the volleyball team.
Right, because they protest.
Because they protest. I mean, it's just, and CMS can't get out of its own way. I mean, they just can't. Mm-hmm. And so tonight, coming up at Charlotte 6, we're going to talk more about CMS, greatly in depth. But coming up at 6:20, A.P. Dillon, the reporter that you asked me about, the thing that you asked me about yesterday with the federal and the attorney general and not being able to protest at school board meetings.
Right.
She did a huge story about that today in the North State Journal, and I encourage everyone to go because about Wake County's trying to do all that.
To lock it down so you can't show up. Yeah.
And so she's coming on at 6:20 to talk about that because Wake County's the 15th biggest school system in the country. CMS is 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. And then coming up at 6:35... Derek Dellinger, a reporter at Fox 46,
yep.
is coming on at 6:35 to talk about a lot more and go in greater detail and depth because at first we thought it was maybe just one or two volleyball players suspended. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Oh, no.
A lot more.
And wow. Derek actually spoke to a lot of the people involved in organizing the protest. So we're going to have him come on at 6:35 to talk about the volleyball situation at Olympic.
So let me ask you this question. You've got about a minute left. You say Wake is 15th biggest. Mm-hmm. Charlotte Mac is
18th or 19th.
18th or 19th. Who's got a bigger gun problem?
Oh, it's CMS. Yeah. It's not even close. Mm-hmm. That'd be 8 to 2.
Yeah.
One kid in Wake County had two guns. Okay. So two guns, one kid.
One kid. Okay.
Here we've got eight guns.
Yeah. That we know of.
That we know of.
TBD. Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, I called Wake County and they're like, oh, yeah, we got this. Boom.
Yeah.
Call CMS. How many guns have you had? Well, they'll say... Well, they'll probably would say eight, just because they don't want, if they have more, they wouldn't want to tell you.
So here's a question for AP Dillon, and it's this. I'm wondering, would you see protests, what if the protests that were happening at the school boards were over guns and not over CRT and the other issues? I have a feeling the FBI and Merrick Garland wouldn't be so upset by that.
That's a great question, and I'll talk to AP like that. And I've told you, I've said this on our airways many, many times. AP Dillon is the best education reporter in all of North Carolina, and it's not even close.
Yeah. I appreciate her work, and I appreciate you coming in and sitting in here for a few minutes, and look forward to catching up with you. I would encourage folks, follow Brett on Twitter, @Brett_Jensen. Is also an amazing resource, and you can also let him know what's going on in your neck of the woods, too.
That's right. That's right. Hey, always
tips appreciated.
Always open. Always open.
All right, that's going to do it for me. Thanks to TJ and Josh, Anna and Boomer, and of course, Brett Jensen, Bo Thompson, and each and every one of you. I am Brett Witterbull. Charlotte at 6 with Brett Jensen is coming up next. We'll talk about it tomorrow starting at 3. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.